Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a vinyl heat-style jungle ARP riser in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're learning how to take that idea from session view into arrangement view without losing the energy, the groove, or the tension. This is a really useful drum and bass skill, because risers in jungle and rollers are not just little sound effects you throw in at the end. They're part of the arrangement language. A good riser can say, "The drop is coming," or help flip a break, or bridge you from an intro into the first impact in a way that feels musical and intentional. The vibe we're going for here is warm, a little gritty, slightly unstable, and rhythmically alive. Think vinyl heat, tape wobble, old sample energy, but shaped in a clean modern Ableton workflow. Let's start in session view. Create a new MIDI track and give it a clear name, something like Jungle ARP Riser. Staying organized really matters in drum and bass, because you'll often end up with a lot of build ideas, fills, and alternate versions. Now load a stock instrument. Waveatable is a great beginner choice because it's flexible and easy to shape, but if you want something simpler and warmer, analog works too. Start with a basic sound. Don't overthink it. Use a saw or pulse-style waveform. Maybe add a second oscillator slightly detuned if you want a little more thickness. Keep the filter low pass, and keep the amp envelope fairly quick. Short attack, medium decay, medium sustain, short release. The goal is not a giant lead. The goal is a riser that lives mostly in the mids and upper mids, where it can build tension without stepping on the sub. Now let's write the ARP. Create a one-bar MIDI clip in session view. Keep it simple and repetitive. Use short notes, maybe eighth notes or 16th notes, and choose just a few notes from a minor scale. 3 to 5 notes is often enough. For example, if you're in D minor, you might use D, F, A, and C. The point is not to write a big melody. The point is to create motion. Jungle and TNB risers usually work best when they feel like they're running forward, not wandering around. A really good beginner move is to repeat one note a few times and then let the last note climb higher. That gives the phrase a sense of direction. If the build feels weak, don't immediately add more effects. First, check the MIDI. Often a small change in rhythm, note length, or last note placement fixes the problem faster than extra processing. Now let's give it that vinyl heat character. Add saturator after the instrument. You only need a little bit at first. Around 2 to 6 dB of drive is a good starting point. Turn on soft clip if needed, but keep an eye on the output so the level doesn't jump too much. After that, add auto filter. Start with a low pass filter, and place the cutoff somewhere in the darker range, maybe around 400 Hz to 1.5 kHz depending on the sound. Add a touch of resonance, not too much, just enough to give the sweep some personality. We're going to automate that cutoff upward later, so the sound opens as the build develops. If you want a little extra shimmer, you can add chorus ensemble, but keep it subtle. The idea is not to wash the sound out. In darker D&B, too much effect can make the transition feel blurry instead of focused. Now for a widening move, which is a big part of making the riser feel like it's opening up toward the drop. Add utility to the chain. Start with the width somewhere around 70 to 90%. Then automate it wider near the end of the riser, maybe up to 110 or 130%. Don't go extreme unless the sound is very controlled. The key idea is this. Let the top of the sound open out, while the core stays solid. If you want a little more movement, you can use auto pan too. Set it to a synced rate like 1/4, 1/8, or 1/16, and keep the amount moderate. Phase at 180 degrees can create a nice stereo motion. But again, don't overdo it. In drum and bass, strong transitions usually feel better when they're controlled rather than huge and messy. Here's a really important beginner rule. Keep the low frequencies out of the way. If the sound has too much body, it can muddy the build and fight with the kick and bass later. So if needed, high pass it, and make sure the widening is mostly happening in the upper part of the sound, not the whole body. Now let's shape the motion with automation. In session view, open the clip envelope and automate the filter cutoff, the saturator drive, the utility width, and maybe a bit of reverb send if you want the tail to grow. Start the clip darker and narrower. Then gradually open the filter over the course of 2 or 4 bars. Let the width increase near the end. If you use reverb, keep it relatively small at first and save the bigger space for the tail. A good riser usually feels like it's leaning into the drop. It should build tension steadily instead of exploding too early. That sense of restraint is what makes the payoff feel bigger. To make the riser feel more like real jungle, add a rhythmic layer. This can be a very quiet vinyl crackle, a noise burst, or a chopped break fragment on another track. Keep it subtle. It doesn't need to dominate the sound. It just needs to add a little pulse and grit so the riser feels connected to the drums. This is one of those details that makes a huge difference. A build with rhythm feels like it belongs in drum and bass. A pure whoosh can work sometimes, but a little break-style movement makes the transition feel more authentic. Now let's move from session view into arrangement view. If your clip feels good, trigger it in session view and let it play through. You can duplicate it if you need a longer build, and make sure your global quantization is set so launches stay tight. Then switch to arrangement view, and either record the clip launch into the timeline or drag the clip directly into the arrangement. This is where the idea becomes a real transition in the track. Place the riser before a drop, or before a drum fill, or at the end of a breakdown. Common DNB placements are things like a 16-bar intro into an 8-bar riser, or a breakdown, into a 4-bar build, then a fill, then the drop. The main thing is that the riser supports the arrangement. It should serve a section change, not just exist as a cool sound on its own. Now add a transition cue. A simple snare roll, kick pickup, chopped break fill, or reverse crash can make the riser land much harder. You can use simpler for a one-shot impact, or print and reverse audio for a more natural transition effect. In jungle and rollers, the best transitions often have both tension and a clear drum cue. That combination makes the drop feel intentional. Once it's in the arrangement, check it in context with the drums and bass. This part matters a lot. Loop the section and listen carefully. Ask yourself, is the riser too loud? Is it stepping on the snare or cymbals? Is the widening exciting? Or is it making the mix feel blurry? Is there too much low-mid buildup? If needed, use EQ8. High-pass the riser somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz, or even higher if it's a dense sound. Cut some mud in the low-mids if the build clouds the mix. And if the top end gets too harsh, gently tame the upper-mids around 2.5 to 5 kHz. Also do a mono check if the sound feels unstable. In drum and bass, the center is precious. The riser can widen the edge of the track, but it should not weaken the core. If the sound is working, but still feels a little messy, this is a great moment to resample it. Freeze and flatten the track, or record it to a new audio track. That makes it easier to edit the tail, reverse the last hit, chop the waveform, or just keep the project lighter on CPU. In a lot of cases, resampling gives the transition a more finished, real-world feel. Here's a good way to think about the workflow in Live 12, sound first. MIDI second, automation third, arrangement last. That order keeps you from getting lost in effects before the actual idea is strong. And one more teacher-style tip, when you widen the sound, always ask yourself what is actually getting wider. If the whole body opens up, things can get messy fast. If mostly the top layer gets wider while the low end stays controlled, it usually sounds much better. For this lesson, a great practice exercise is to make three versions of the same riser. Make one version tight and dry, with minimal effects. Make one version with a vinyl heat vibe, using saturation, a little noise, and a wider ending. Then make a bigger transition version with more automation, maybe a reverse tail or a fill on the last beat. Put each one into arrangement view, and test them before the same drop. You'll learn a lot very quickly about what actually works. If you want a really solid beginner challenge, spend 10 to 20 minutes building your own version right now. Make the ARP, add saturator, auto filter, and utility. Automate the filter and width, maybe to add a tiny break tick, then drop it into the arrangement and test it with drums and bass. If it feels too soft, darken it less or add a bit more drive. If it feels too crowded, clean up the low mids. If the ending doesn't hit hard enough, make the last bar more dramatic, or leave a tiny gap before the drop, so the impact lands with more force. That's the whole idea. A vinyl heat jungle ARP riser is really a transition instrument. It's not just an effect. It's a musical cue that helps the track move. And once you know how to sketch it in session view and then place it properly in arrangement view, you've got a very practical drum and bass tool that you can use again and again. Nice work. Let's keep building.